As we've been talking about in the Sermon on Studying, the Sermon on the Mount, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about what I called contrasts. The reason I call them contrasts is because Jesus starts out by saying, you've heard it said. He provides, or he says, you know, what he's going to talk about in that little bit. And he says, but I say to you. So it's a contrast between what has been said, what the people have been taught or told, and what Jesus is going to have to say about it. And I believe when we look at the items that Jesus is talking about here in the rest of chapter 5 of Matthew, we've already talked about murder and anger. So really what we're talking about there is anger. We talked about adultery and lust. And what I believe in this study that I've been doing in preparation for this class is that Jesus wasn't just going, what am I going to talk about next? Let me pluck a topic out of the sky. I think that what Jesus was addressing was issues that they were dealing with in their society in his day. Talking about anger, talking about lust. Those were issues that they dealt with 2,000 years ago, and guess what? We're still dealing with anger, with lust, and with today's topic, with divorce. Now, when you read this passage about divorce here in the Sermon on the Mount, the very first word in the passage, at least here in the New King James that I have, is furthermore. To me, that's a carryover, basically a continuation of the thought on adultery and lust. Jesus says, furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. When you look at some other translations, it may say, whoever puts away his wife. You know, they're sort of, let him give her a certificate of divorce. It's using a different word, but you're giving the same connotation. When you look at the Greek word divorce, it means release, put away, let go, get rid of, in addition to the word divorce. So there's a lot of ways that you could translate that word from the Greek into the English. So Jesus says, it's been said, if you're going to divorce your wife, give her a certificate of divorce. Why would they be saying that? In that culture, at that time, why are they saying that? We get a little bit of a clue when we look over at chapter 19 of Matthew, the first 10 verses, but we're going to look at just a part of that. You can read about the same event, if you will, that we read about in Matthew chapter 19, you can read about in Mark chapter 10. So we're going to look at Matthew. Starting in verse 3 of chapter 19, says, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him. There's the intent that they have. They're trying to put him on test. There's a lot of times in Matthew and the other Gospels that we read about the scribes and Pharisees, the Pharisees and the Herodians, the Sadducees, the Pharisees by themselves. You see all these different groups coming to Jesus with the purpose of testing him. What they're trying to do, they're trying to catch him in something that they can either go to the Romans and say, hey, this guy's an insurrectionist, or go to Herod and say, hey, this guy's, you know, bad news for you, King Herod, or go to the people and say, hey, this guy's not really teaching the law. But in every instance, Jesus' answer deflects that. He sort of goes around their test. He clips out of that particular course, if you want to use that kind of concept. He answers their question in a way that nobody can hold anything against him. Matthew 19:3, the Pharisees came to him, testing him, saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Jesus' answer was what? Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two should be one flesh? So then, they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Jesus takes them back to the beginning. Now, keep in mind, who are the Pharisees? They at least hold themselves up as the ideal, the most righteous, religious, law-abiding folks there are. So for him to say, haven't you read the Bible? Don't you know what it says? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. God made male and female. Genesis chapter 2. For this reason will a man leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife, and the two are one. So he's taking them all the way back to the beginning. But then what do they say to him? Well, you know, if we're not supposed to separate what man put together, why did Moses command, notice the word, why did Moses command us to give her a certificate of divorce? What's Jesus' answer? He doesn't say, Moses never commanded that. Not directly, he didn't. What do you say? Moses permitted that, in some translations, allowed that because of the hardness of your heart. Goes back to them being, you know, how many times in the Old Testament do we read about God through the prophets, through Moses, calling the Israelites stiff-necked, uncircumcised hearts? You know, just they're constantly pushing back. They're stubborn. They're constantly pushing back against God, wanting to have their way. So, but they say, well, why did Moses command that? So in trying to answer that question, I started looking. Well, where is the first mention of a certificate of divorce? If we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24, to get to the right passage here. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Verses 1 through 4. And what I see here is, in that asking that question, why did Moses command us to give her a certificate of divorce? I think we find part of the answer in this passage, and as we analyze this passage and maybe some of their reaction to it. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends her out of his house. When she is departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies and took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she's been defiled, for that's an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. That is the source point, the reference point, for the Pharisees saying, why did Moses command us to give her a certificate of divorce? Where do we see a command in there? Let's look. What I see in this passage is a long series of ifs with one then. And the if could also be the when. When, if a man takes a wife and marries her, if it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he's found some uncleanness in her, if he writes her a certificate of divorce, and you can put a when in all of these things. When this has happened, and when this has happened, and when this has happened. Puts it in her hand, sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. That's at least three or four whens so far. And if the latter husband detests her and writes her certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends her out of his house. Or if the latter husband dies, who took her as his husband. Okay, all of those are ifs. If this has happened, and 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 this has happened, then what? Then she can't go back to her first husband. That's what it says. That's the command. Can't go back to the first husband. Doesn't matter whether he wants her back or not. Can't go back. That's the command. But the Jews, the rabbis back in those days, in the earlier days before possibly what we read about the scribes and the Pharisees, what'd they focus on? Certificate of divorce. Now, the fact that Moses says when this happens, when a certificate of divorce is given, when we look earlier in that, we never see that. We never see it commanded. We don't even see it back before the law was given, certificate of divorce. What do we see prior to that? Genesis 2. When a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, the two will be one. We see that. So where do we see any kind of idea about divorce? This is going to be an assumption, a speculation on my part. Take it for what it's worth. That's something that they had learned or become accustomed to from their time in Egypt. That was something that was already part of their memory as people. Hey, if we don't like something about our marriage, we'll just get a divorce. Now, I know that would be strange to those of us living in the 21st century, the people would have that attitude. But yet it is. Now, so when they ask, well, can he divorce for just any reason? in Jesus' day, there was some discussion, some conflict, if you will, about reasons for divorce. A rabbi, Shammai, focused on the word uncleanness. In that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 24, it says, she found no favor because of some uncleanness. He focused on the uncleanness and said, and his teaching was, sexual immorality is the only reason for divorce. Rabbi Hillel, a little more laid back, a little more, I'm okay, you're okay, says, you can get a divorce for any reason you want to. A lot of people you hear about, read about in today in commentaries say, even if she burnt the toast, well, they probably didn't make toast, but they made bread. So she burnt the food. She didn't get the clothes clean. Whatever. You know, whatever reason that this person didn't find favor. Rabbi Akiva went one step further, or maybe not further, but corollary to Rabbi Hillel, and he said, if you find somebody better looking than your current spouse, you can get a divorce. Now, to me, that sounds like a marriage based on physical attraction. That sounds an awful lot like a lot of 21st century marriages. People focused on the outside. So what did Jesus say? Back in Matthew chapter 5, he says, but I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason, except sexual immorality causes any... Okay, let me start again. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Okay, last week we talked about adultery and lust. And don't lust, because that plants the seed of what could become adultery. And the law specifically said, don't commit adultery. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. So, Jesus is saying, if you divorce your wife for any reason except sexual immorality. So I looked at the Greek word in my